For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Now I start to talk on Dogen's Shogun's Arcana. Before I start to talk on this particular writing, maybe it's better to say something about his difficulty of reading and understanding his writings. You know, he lived in the 13th century and he wrote Shobogenzo in Japanese. But his Japanese is very unique. I mean, he could read and write Chinese frequently. So he quote Chinese without translating into Japanese. So, you know, I think we can imagine some English literature written in 13th century mixed together with Latin or Greek or Hebrew. I think not many common American people can read such a literature, even that is written in English. And Dogen's writing is something like that. He wrote in classic Japanese, and he freely quote from Buddhist scriptures, such as sutras and commentaries, and also Zen literature that was written in a very colloquial Chinese in 13th century. If you can imagine, that is what he's writing. Then you don't need to worry about difficult to read. it's matter of course. Even for us Japanese, you can't read Dogen's writing to understand. If we study Dogen, in this case Shobogenzo, first we read commentaries. Otherwise, we don't really understand what he's even talking about. And today, not only the commentaries, but also there are many translations into modern Japanese. And without using that kind of help, we don't really understand Dogen. And you know, I went to Kobada University and studied the Dogen writing for 4 years. And since then, I have been studying, not only studying, but practicing, following Dogen's instruction for more than 40 years. Still, I don't understand. I'm not sure if I understand or not. I have some understanding, but this is my own, my personal understanding. There's no guarantee that I understand and that I talk to you is what Dogen really want to say or not. There's no guarantee. And many other, you know, Zen teachers or scholars may read and understand completely differently. Or even myself, next year, next time I talk on Shobogenzo Kanno, I may speak very different way. So, please don't believe what I'm saying. This is not a teaching, but this is a kind of a report of how I have been studying and understanding, and at this moment, how I interpret, how I read and interpret his writing based on my study, my knowledge, and also through my practice. I just hope and I talk can be helpful for your study and practice. There's no 100% correct understanding of Dogen. Probably, you know, as Banshaw said, you know, we have to eyes and see the cat. Is it true or not? It should be investigated through our own life. Now, I start to talk on Shobogenzo Kannan. First paragraph is simply a quote of conversation, so I don't think I need to repeat. The only tiny difference is third sentence from the bottom. That is, you spoke quite well, but only 80 or 90% was achieved. In the text of Hekiranroku and Shoyoroku, it says only 80%. Here Dogen said 80 or 90. And this is not Dogen's change, but Dogen quoted from different texts. In one of the Chinese texts, in both Hekiganroku and Shoyoroku, the expression Hachi Jo. Hachi means eight, and Jo is like to achieve or to success or to become. So Hachi Jo can translate as 80% perfect. Complete. But there is another Chinese text that is newer, later than Hekiganroku and Shoyoroku. It said Hachi Ku Jo. Ku means nine. So it said 80 or 90% complete. So this is not Dogen's change. It's someone in China made change, intentionally or not intentionally, I don't know. But I think this is Dogen's choice. That means if clearly say 80%, then it fixed. But 80 or 90% is more vague. But anyway, it's not a big change. So I start from paragraph 2. In this paragraph, Dogen phrase, there means Ungan and Dogo's conversation, and introduce what is about Teshima or Kanon. This is not difficult, so I just read. As for expressing Avalokiteshvara, although we now and then hear many voices uttered both before and after Unyan or Ungan and Dogo, none of them is equal to Ungan and Dogo. So, according to him, Ungan and Dogo's expression about Avalokiteshvara is the most excellent. He discussed or he made comment based on this conversation. And in the end of this classical, he introduced other than master's discussion or expression about Kannon. If we wish to study Avalokiteshvara or Kannon, we need to thoroughly investigate these sayings of Ungan and Dogo. the great compassion bodhisattva, or Daihi Bosatsu, discussed here, refers to the seeing the world sounds bodhisattva. This is my literal translation of Kan Ze Om. Kan is seeing, Ze is world, and Om is sound, and bodhisattva. Also called the freely seeing bodhisattva, this is Kanji Zai Bosatsu. No, that appears in the Heart Sutra. Kan is seeing, and Ji is self, and Zai is being, and Jizai as a compound to be free. So Kanji Zai means the bodhisattva who sees freely. Freely means without any limitation. So he introduced two names of Avalokiteshvara, and these two names are simply two different Chinese translations of one Sanskrit word, Avalokiteshvara. It can interpret in two ways. But, well, I don't have time to discuss about that. We study that this bodhisattva is the father and mother of all Buddhas. We should not study that this bodhisattva is inferior to all Buddhas and has not yet attained the way. This means, you know, bodhisattva is a candidate to become a Buddha. You know, before Shakyamuni became Buddha. That means when he was practicing, seeking the awakening, Shakyamuni was called Bodhisattva. So after he attained Buddhahood, he was called Buddha. So Avalokiteshvara is a person who is practicing in order to become Buddha. And according to Mahayana teachings, there are 52 stages since about one bodhisattva allows bodhicitta to take a vow to become Buddha. And it takes more than forever to reach the goal. So common understanding of bodhisattva is a Buddha to be, but not yet Buddha. So in order, this bodhisattva is practicing to become Buddha. But Father Dogen is saying here, it's Avalokiteshvara is not the candidate to become Buddha. That means Avalokiteshvara is not practicing in order to become Buddha. Because in the next sentence, in the past, this bodhisattva was the true Dharma brightness Tathagata. That means this Avalokiteshvara is a bodhisattva currently, but in the past, this person was a Buddha. So somehow it's opposite. Buddha became bodhisattva instead of bodhisattva became Buddha. So somehow intentionally this Tathagata named true Dharma brightness or Shobo Nyo Nyorai. This Shobo is the same word in Shobo in Shobo Genzo, true Dharma. And Myo means brightness, and brightness refers to wisdom. So this name means wisdom of true Dharma. That was the name of this Tathagata. Somehow this Tathagata didn't like to be Buddha. So he quit. he retired and came back to the samsara. And please.
Is there some sutra that this Buddha appears in? I have not heard of this Buddha.
Yes. I think the name of the sutra is something like... I forget the name. They have been, you know, the Daihi Shindarani is a part of this sutra. You know, I think you are familiar with Daihi Shindarani. Daihi Shindarani is also Avalokiteshvara. Part of Daihi Shindarani is Oriya Vrokichi. This Oriya is Arya. Vrokichi is Avalokiteshvara. So Arya Avalokiteshvara is Nam Oriya Vrokichi. So this is Arya means sacred or holy Avalokiteshvara. So Daikshin Dharani is also about Avalokiteshvara. And this Dharani was taken from certain sutra about Avalokiteshvara. And I think it is said that Avalokiteshvara in the past was a Tathagata.
Thank you.
Probably in the Buddha land, there are not so many interesting things. Probably in samsara, there are more interesting things happens. At 5, probably he became bored and returned to the samsara and worked as a bodhisattva. Not only Avalokiteshvara, but, you know, for example, Manjushri, yes, and other so-called great bodhisattvas are not a candidate to become Buddha.
Yes.
They are a symbol of some part of Buddha's virtue. So,
I guess I always heard that Avalokiteshvara didn't really exist. You know, that it was more a symbol. And now, what this is saying is, oh yeah, there was actually this Buddha, and the Buddha became the Bodhisattva. So that would mean that Avalokiteshvara actually did exist.
I'm not sure.
Is that
not sure about? Even Buddha can be a symbol of, you know, actual Buddha as a living being, as a human being, is only Shakyamuni. All other Buddhas in Mahayana Buddhism didn't really exist. You know, for example, in the Yogacara teaching, they said in Yogacara teaching there are four and eight layers of consciousness, and first five and six and seven and eight transformed through practice into wisdom, and those four consciousnesses became the wisdom. So consciousness is transformed into wisdom. The Araya consciousness become a wisdom of perfect mirror, Dai Enkyoji. And seventh, ego consciousness is transformed into Byodo Shochi, that wisdom which sees equality of all things. And sixth consciousness, our usual thinking mind, transform into a Myoho Kansatsuji, that means wisdom which excellently or skillfully observe things as they are. And first five consciousness transformed into a wisdom called Jo Shosachi. Jo Shosachi means wisdom which accomplish or achieve the activities. And those four wisdoms are kind of, what is the word, is called the Buddha's name. That's one in the west is called Amitabha. The one in the east is called Ashoka. What is Ashoka?
Ashoka.
Ashokumura. And the other two Buddhas. So those Buddhas are a symbol of those four wisdom. And in the Vajrayana Buddhism, they added one more wisdom. And this wisdom is defined as Buddha's name called Vajrayana. So all those five Buddhas are not yet answered, but a symbol of the wisdom. So even the Buddha is not really a person. And yet, you know, of course, in the ancient times, Mahayana Buddhists really thought those Buddhas are there, and each of them have their own Buddha in certain place in this universe. I don't think Dogen really literally believed that kind of idea. And I think, you know, Buddhas are really existing as a person. Or even Bodhisattva like Avalokiteshvara or Manjushri. Is this the answer to your question?
I think so. As much as I would understand today, I think.
Anyway, so what he's saying is Avalokiteshvara is not a low-class Bodhisattva, but he is he's the same quality with Buddhas or Tathagatas. And often this word Tathagata is used as not a symbol, not as a person, but as the Tathagata itself. You know, this Tathagata. Tathagata means thusness. And gata means gone or come. So Nyorai means is sometimes translated as thus come one means the person who came from thusness, or the person who gone to thusness. So this Tathagata is not person, the name of a person. Well, so let me go to the third paragraph. Here he, Dogen, start to discuss about the actual conversation between Unran and Dogo. Sentence by sentence. Thus, we should thoroughly investigate this Bodhisattva upholding Ungan's saying that the great compassion Bodhisattva does what? With innumerable hands and eyes. Of course, this is my twisted translation. I think Dogen read this saying by Ungan as a both question and also a statement. And Dai, in Chinese, it said Dai Hi Bodhatsu. I don't know in Chinese. Shu gin, so, mo. So, mo is fat. Daihi Bosatsu is Bodhisattva of great compassion. Yu is youth, and kota is so many hands and eyes. So, of course, for Chinese people, this sentence is a question. Great compassion Bodhisattva using so many hands and eyes doing what? What about Teshuvara or this Bodhisattva is doing using so many hands and eyes is the only possible way of reading this sentence. But Dogen is not a Chinese, as I said this morning. And in Chinese sentence writing, there's no punctuation. That means there's no question mark here. And there's no comma or quotation. It's only the lines of Chinese characters. So it is possible to read sentence not as a question, but as a statement. That is a kind of a technique Dogen uses to change the meaning of the sentence. So, one possible way of reading this is the great compassion Bodhisattva using so many hands and eyes doing this thing called named fat. And this fat, somo, or later he used a similar expression like a juno. Or inmo. I don't mean to like anyone. This word means how or what. And often in Chinese Zen text, especially in Dogen's way of reading, those words which make sentence into question, as the word pointing the reality beyond thinking, beyond discrimination, beyond making definition. One of the examples, Dogen wrote a fascicle entitled Immo, Shobo Genzo Immo, and we usually translate it as Immo, as thusness. And it is possible to read the same way about this Somo. So, about Teshuvara is doing thus, doing thusness, reading so many hands and eyes. I don't think any Chinese people can read in such a way. That is why I translate in this way. The great compassion Bodhisattva does fat, and I make it fat as into an italic, with innumerable hands and eyes, so many hands and eyes. So this is not a question, but this is a Ungan's statement about what Avalokiteshvara is doing. Avalokiteshvara is doing this thusness, see all things happening, using so many hands and eyes. And next he said, there is an ancestor who enables practitioners to uphold and maintain Avalokiteshvara, and there is another ancestor who has never seen Avalokiteshvara even in a dream. So there are two kinds of ancestors, and in different commentaries on Shobo Genzo, Japanese Soto masters interpret different ways. One way is this person who never seen Avalokiteshvara in even in a dream is never the meaning. That means they don't know what Avalokiteshvara really is. But another interpretation is the first one referred to Ungan, and the second one referred to Dobo. That means an ancestor who enables practitioner to uphold and maintain Avalokiteshvara. This uphold and maintain is holding. Home is to keep, maintain, and Nin is to keep it as it is. So Ungam's statement that Avalokiteshvara is doing thusness, using so many hands and eyes, is the way we Ungam maintain and unfold Avalokiteshvara. But in the case of Dogo, when he says this Avalokiteshvara's activity is like a person in the night, in the darkness, without thinking, making no discrimination, but somehow act and fix the problem. Mm. That is what Dogen said, the person who never seen Avalokiteshvara. Bit, because this is in complete darkness. So this person never seen Avalokiteshvara even in a dream, means he is simply doing. So it's not a matter of he see or uphold Avalokiteshvara. So these two refer to Ungan and Dogo. That is my understanding. At least for now. That's why he says next. Avalokiteshvara is in Ungan, Yoinan, and practice together with Dogo. So these two upfold and maintain Avalokiteshvara and never seen Avalokiteshvara. Those two are practicing together. That means Avalokiteshvara as a manifestation and Avalokiteshvara as a revelation are working together. That means one person like Ungan is express Avalokiteshvara using positive expression, and another person expressed Avalokiteshvara with negative expression. That means no Avalokiteshvara. Only his actions. In a sense, when we act as Avalokiteshvara, as one hand and eyes of Avalokiteshvara, we don't need to call. What I'm doing is Avalokiteshvara. That is a kind of logic, and not only one or two Avalokiteshvaras. Truly, not only one or two Avalokiteshvaras, but hundreds or thousands of Avalokiteshvaras together practice with Ungan. Here, Dogen used Avalokiteshvara as plural. He said only one or two, but hundreds and thousands of Avalokiteshvara too. That means I have been saying, you know, this entirety of interdependent observation is Avalokiteshvara. If that is only the case, then Avalokiteshvara should be always singular. But when all the hands and eyes are working or function as under the eyes of Avalokiteshvara. Then each of them is one with entire connection, entire network, as I said, like when I touch one finger, you touch entire hand. So each one of the finger is actually one hand. That means each knot of this network is Avalokiteshvara. That is what he meant. One Avalokiteshvara, two Avalokiteshvaras, hundred or thousands of Avalokiteshvara. So he sees Avalokiteshvara from two sides, as a one reality and also collection of many things, many beings within the network. So even in one sentence, he sees things from both sides, and in our conceptual thinking, these are contradictory. So it's really difficult to accept if Avalokiteshvara is one single reality, then we cannot say Avalokiteshvara Dzug as plural. But even within one sentence, he made this contradicted idea or statement. That's why it's really difficult to follow his way of thinking or his logic for us who are bound in certain fixed logic and conceptual way of thinking. So we have to be very flexible when we read Dogen. And another point is difference between Japanese and English. We can make sentence without subject. And there's no singular or plural forms. Whatever Dogen uses is just kanon. We don't need to say kanon zu, whether it's a singular or plural. So it's kind of difficult to follow what he's saying when we need English. And only in Ungan's assembly does Avalokiteshvara truly become Avalokiteshvara. I'm not sure about this word assembly. The word Dogen uses is A. A, it said Ungan A, I translate Ungan's assembly. But this A, A is the same word like in Genzo A. A means gathering. So this can be assembly. But another meaning, or more common meaning of this A, is understanding. So this can be translated as Ungan's understanding. Only in Ungan's understanding does Avalokiteshvara truly become Avalokiteshvara. Why is this so? So Dogen thinks this is not a question, Ungan's question to Dogo, but this is a statement, expression of his understanding of what Avalokiteshvara is. Why is this so? When we compare the Avalokiteshvara spoken of by Yunyan or Ungan and the Avalokiteshvara spoken of by other Buddhas, there is a difference between one who was able to express the Bodhisattva and one who was not able to do it. You know, this spoken of by other Buddhas refer to the description of Avalokiteshvara in other Buddhist sutras. And, until recently, all Mahayana Buddhists
think all Mahayana Buddhist sutras were actually record of Buddha's saying. So whatever is written in the sutra is Buddha's saying. But today we know those sutras are not really the sayings of Shakyamuni Buddha. So this sounds strange to us. But what he meant is the Avalokiteshvara spoken of by other Buddhas has only 12 faces. Unyan's Avalokiteshvara is not like this. What Unyan said is this word kota, that means so many, without using any number. He just said so many or how many. That means he didn't use the number. And the Avalokiteshvara spoken of by other Buddhas has only 1,000 hands and eyes. Ungan's Avalokiteshvara is not like this. And the Avalokiteshvara spoken of by other Buddhas has, for the time being, 84,000 hands and eyes. In certain sutras, said Avalokiteshvara has this number of hands and eyes. But Ungan's Avalokiteshvara is not like this. How can we know that it is so? And he continues in the next paragraph. When Ungan says, the great compassion Bodhisattva was uses innumerable hands and eyes, the expression innumerable is translation of this word kota, so many, means it cannot be said using numbers, using fixed, finite numbers. Does not mean only 84,000 hands and eyes, much less some particular number, such as 12 or 32 or 33. And those are numbers used in the sutras or other Buddhist literatures about Avalokiteshvara. But Dogen is saying those numbers are not right, because Avalokiteshvara's hands are innumerable. So this innumerable or kota means so many. So what Dogen is saying is Ungan avoid using the fixed number. Saying innumerable does not restrict it to any numbers. Then we use some number that is restriction. And not only finite numbers, but also expressions such as, because it is not restricted to any number, it is not limited even to some unbounded infinite amount. This unbound infinite amount is Muhen, Muryo. Muhen, Muryo, Muhen, Muhen, Sanryo. Anyway, this means boundless and boundless and immeasurable. But what Dogen is saying here is, in Ungan's expression innumerable or so many, this expression is not simply beyond the finite numbers, but also it's beyond infinity. Does it make sense?
So there's the characters in the Heart Sutra towards the end.
Which one?
Muhen Muryo.
Muhen Sanryo.
About the mantra towards the end of the Heart Sutra.
Yate, yate.
No, before that. Unsurpassed and measurable. No, never mind.
Okay. That means when we say certain numbers, then we think now I understand Avalokiteshvara has this fixed number of hands and eyes. But then we say it's boundless, immeasurable, then we understand Avalokiteshvara's hands and eyes are not fixed number. Then we think we understand, we get it. And that is the point. What Dogen is saying is, you know, this expression kota is even beyond that infinity or boundlessness. Even if we understand the Avalokiteshvara, the hand and eyes are boundless, that is already destructive. Does it make sense? So we should go beyond even this immeasurable or boundless or infinity. So even to translate this word kota as innumerable might be a mistake. Then whatever we say, we limited our view, our understanding, and we fixed what Avalokiteshvara is, or what those hands and eyes are doing. But what Dogen wants to say is Avalokiteshvara's hands and eyes and their activities is really beyond our thinking. In whatever way we depict them or express them, that is already fixed, that already became photos or pictures of the real thing. So the real thing is really numbers, really beyond any expressions, any definitions, any measurement. And Dogen is saying Ungan's expression is expressing this because he doesn't say anything special. And then Ungan said this, that means this already goes beyond the boundary of the concept of being infinite and immeasurable. And upholding Ungan's expression, innumerable hands and eyes or kota shigen, though does not at all say, this expression does not hit the mark. So Ungan didn't recite though didn't recite what Ungan said. So that means Dogo completely agree with Ungan's expression. So Dogo does not at all say this expression does not hit the mark. There must be an essential principle here. So this means Ungan offers one expression about Avalokiteshvara and its hands and eyes, and Dogo offers another sign. So they are offering each side in order to make this discussion complete. That is Dogen's way of leading this conversation. So this is not at all, Ungan did not understand what Avalokiteshvara is doing. So he asked a question to Dogo. But Ungan's expression, Ungan's saying is expression of his understanding that Avalokiteshvara is beyond any definition, any measurement, any fixed way of understanding. Then Dogo agreed. Dogen said Dogo agreed with him. And he's saying of the person in a dark night grope the pillow is kind of his expression of his agreement with Ungan's saying. Next paragraph. Ungan and Dogo, Dongyang and Daogu, had practiced shoulder to shoulder as an equal practitioner, as co-practitioners under Yaoshan or Yaksan. And after that, they practiced together for 40 years. Through discussing the causes and conditions of stories, this kind of stories, from ancient times and the present, they cut off each other's understandings when they were not right, and verified each other when their understandings were right. So they really understood each other. So it's not a matter of Ungan asks certain question about something he didn't understand, and Dogo gave correct answer to Ungan. But they have completely equal understanding. That is a common way Dogen did this kind of question and answer, or dialogue between the masters. So he doesn't think conversation or question and answer as a kind of competition, which one is more enlightened than others. Often, Koan story or the question and the answer is interpreted in that way. Which person is more enlightened? Which person's understanding is inferior? But often, Dogen lead this question and answer both express one reality equally. That is one kind of a technique of Dogen to lead to express the one reality, not as a competition. So, having been practicing in this way, so Unga and Dog have been practicing for together more than 40 years. In expressing innumerable hands and eyes, makes a statement and Daogu verifies it. So Ungan make a statement and Dogo verified it. That's the way Dogen did this conversation. We should know that innumerable hands and eyes is what both ancient Buddhas express. So they both agree with this expression. Avalokiteshvara has innumerable hands and eyes, and this innumerable go beyond go beyond the duality, beyond finite and infinity even. As for innumerable hands and eyes, this expression in Ungan's statement, Ungan and Dogo are practicing together, sharing the same understanding. Now, Ungan is asking Dogo, so he the meaning that Ungan's statement is also asking. And this asking is not, Ungan is asking because he doesn't know, but this asking is more like an invitation. I say this about Avalokiteshvara, what do you say? That kind of asking. What is Avalokiteshvara doing in using those hands and eyes? Then, Dogen's comment, we should not consider this question, this Ungan's statement, as tantamount to questions by sutra masters, commentary masters, that is, scholars' question and answer. They ask some questions because they don't know. But people in the 10 stage of holiness and the 3 stages of wisdom, this 10 stage and 3 stages refer to those 52 stages of Bodhisattva practice. First, first, I think, first 10 stages are considered as still ordinary beings. And from second and until 40, second means from 10, not 10, but 11, to 40th is called the 30, in this case, three stages, means 30 stages. And the 10 stages means finally 40 to 50. It's called 10 stages. Anyway, this means the Bodhisattva in this, how can I say, structure of step-by-step practice. But this question, this Ungan's question, elicit expression, and it elicit hands and eyes. Elicit means invite, and enable the reality come to express itself. And now, within the statement, Avalokiteshvara is doing what? Doing what? Doing dasmas. In using innumerable hands and eyes, there must be old Buddhas and new Buddhas who attain Buddhahood through the power of this effort. Means Ungan's effort of expressing Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara in this way. So when we really deeply study this, the meaning of this expression, we can become Buddhas. This really strong thing. So it is possible to say Avalokiteshvara is doing what? Doing thus, thusness, in employing by using innumerable hands and eyes. So he, instead of you, he changed the word as she to use or employing, and he further introduced other expressions meaning the same thing. That is, it can also be said making fat. Making is sa-form, another Chinese character. And moving fat, moving is do-sumo. And expressing what, another do, this is speaking. So, this expression means Ungan's statement, Dogen phrase Ungan's statement. And Dogen said he used all these infinite, immeasurable, numberless hands and eyes using thus. That means things, all things happening in this network of interdependent origination is Buddha's hands. I mean, Avalokiteshvara's hands and eyes. And later, he even erased Avalokiteshvara. And he said, only hand and eyes. And he said, hands and eyes, Bodhisattva, use Avalokiteshvara. This is Dogen's comment on Ungan's thing, Ungan's question. I don't think Chinese people can read this sentence in such a way. And the next paragraph, Dogen comments about Dogo's thing. Dogo said, it is like a person who is leaving his hand behind, groping for the pillow in the night. When he means is what, that, for example, It is like a person in the night raising his hand behind himself to search for the pillow. This sounds like almost repetition, but this is really a repetition. That means he quotes this Dogo's saying in Chinese, and he translated it into Japanese. That's why, you know, when we translate into English, these two become exact, almost exactly the same. That is a problem, you know. When we had a kind of a gathering in Japan for Western practitioners, Japanese teacher gave a talk, for example, like Fat Dogen's writings. First, the teacher read what Dogen said in Japanese. And Dogen's saying in Japanese is very difficult even for us Japanese. So the teacher often translates into modern Japanese. But when interpreter translate Dogen's writing expression and this teacher's translation into modern Japanese, the meaning is exactly the same. So the listeners think this teacher simply repeat what Dogen is saying. But if we understand, you know, how difficult Dogen's writing is to translate into modern Japanese, is really a big job. But when it translates into, you know, modern English, they are the same. And this is same thing is happening here. You know, Dogen quotes Chinese and he translates it into Japanese. So when we did English translation, Dogen just repeat the same thing. So we need to understand Dogen is working with two different languages. And now I'm doing the same thing. he explained the Chinese expressions for Japanese people. To grow for means to search around for. I think for American, you know, there's no necessity to explain to grow for. But in Japanese, this Chinese expression is kind of unusual expression. So he's explaining Chinese expression for Japanese people. And in the night is an expression of darkness. This is of course, this is also not of course. There's no need to explain. But next one is kind of strange. So we need some explanation. It is rather, so this is about the darkness, the night. It is rather like the expression, seeing mountains in the daytime. So he's talking about darkness in the night. And saying, this darkness in the night is like the expression, seeing mountains in the daytime. I think this is kind of strange. So I think we need to understand, we need to explain. And this is also about darkness and dark and darkness and brightness or light means sandokai. That means darkness refers to no discrimination. And light means discrimination, discriminating way of thinking. And for example, Unman is another very famous and important Chinese master. In Shobo Genzo Komyo, Komyo means radiant light. Singh. And Umon Singh is everyone. Everyone has this is my translation. Each and every person, without exception, has the radiant light. Each one of us, without exception, has this koryo radiant light. When we try to find and see that radiant light, Uman said, it cannot be seen. It is obscured in total darkness. So we all have or emit the light. But when we try to see, it's obscure and complete or total darkness. So here again, this light or brightness and darkness are together. For us, these two are positive and negative. And often we like light and we don't like darkness. Darkness is something negative, and light or brightness is something positive. But in the case of in Zen teachings, it's kind of, as I said before, within dark there's light, and within light there's dark. So we cannot, make decision. We cannot say this is dark or this is light. When we see darkness, there is light. When we see light, there is already the darkness. So darkness and light are always penetrate each other. Anyway, this is what Umon says, and he asked to his students, what is the radiant light existing in all people? What is that light that is radiant light? Not only people, but each and everything else. Then no one answered to Umon's question. So Umon gave answers by himself. And his answer is, the Buddha hall, the kitchen, and the three gates. This is Umon's answer to the question, what is the light of each being, each one of us? You understand? I hope you do. But this is their goal. In those places, Buddha hall, monk's hall, a kitchen, and three gates. Three gates means three temple gates. Those are the place monks live. Monks practice. Monks work and functions. So each monk's brightness is where they work, where they practice. So here, the self and surroundings or environment or the world is one thing. This oneness of person and network, total network itself is this communal. This means interconnectedness of each and everything within this network itself is communal, and itself is compassion and also wisdom. So this same of Uma appeared also in the case 86 of Hekiganoku. So if we are interested in, please read that case. And in Shogogen of Komyo, Dogen made a comment about this saying of Uma. And what he said is, the radiant light is each and every person. It's not a part of the person, but each and every person and each and every being are themselves radiant light. That is why we cannot see. Same as we cannot see, our eyes cannot see our eyes. Because this itself, this total body and mind is self radiant light. How can we see the radiant light? And this totality of interconnectedness is radiant light. How can we see it? There's no way. So these two, complete darkness in the night, and this brightness, like seeing the mountain in the daytime, completely penetrate each other. So when we say darkness or night, and if we think this is an opposition of daytime or brightness, then we create another duality. Then we miss the darkness. Within darkness, there are both should be there. Otherwise, this is not real darkness. That is a logic behind this kind of strange expressions. So, from our conceptual way of thinking, this is total nonsense. But same total nonsense or total same kind of logic is often used by Dogen. Not only Dogen, but in Mahayana Buddhist teachings, that is, the most well-known example is form is emptiness and emptiness is form. In this case, form is light and emptiness is darkness. So form is emptiness, means light is dark and emptiness is form, is darkness, dark is light. And not only that, in Shogo Genzo Makahanyaharans, Dogen's comments on the Heart Sutra, he quoted this sentence, form is emptiness and emptiness is form, from the Heart Sutra. But he added two more expressions. That is form and emptiness is emptiness. So there are four things. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form, and emptiness is emptiness, and form is form. Shiki de shiki kusaku ku is in Japanese. This means when we say form is emptiness and emptiness is form, we have two things, that is form and that is emptiness. And putting is between these two things, we want to say this A and B is the same. And actually this B is non-A. For emptiness means there's no such thing called form. So this is not A and B, but this is A and non-A. And in our usual logic, we cannot say A and non-A is as equal or the same. Our logic kind of negate to accept such a logic. But form is emptiness is the same logic. Form is not form. That is what this means. And emptiness is form, means emptiness is not emptiness. So is said in the Heart Sutra is almost against our common logic. If we say A is B and B is A, then we can accept it's a simple logic. But if we say, understand A is non-A and non-A is A, this is not a common logic. So we need to be careful about this point. But still, when we say A is non-A, and non-A is A, still there are two things, A and non-A. And putting is between these two, we want to say A and non-A are one, or the same. In that, for Dogen, this is still, when we think in this way, we are still in the realm of thinking. Conceptual thinking. You know, there are two things. We try to make these two things into one. And according to Dogen, that is not close enough to the reality itself. That's why he said form is form and emptiness is emptiness. That means if form is really emptiness, if form is really emptiness, then we don't need to say form is emptiness. When we say form, emptiness is already there. And when we say emptiness, form is already there. That's why he, you know, quote, form is emptiness and emptiness is form from the Heart Sutra. And he added, form is form and emptiness is emptiness. This is kind of a very important logic to understand Dogen's understanding. That means even when Dogen said, Dogen only said A or brightness or only said darkness, the other side is already there. And even when only say four, emptiness is already there. That is how we need to read Dogen's writings. That's why his writing is so difficult to understand. And in this paragraph, he used the same kind of logic. Talking about the night. The expression of night in Dogo's saying, it is like a person who is reaching his hand behind, groping for a pillow in the night. So this is about this night. This night and seeing the mountain in the daytime is the same thing. Within night, you know, bedtime is already included. And with daytime, night is already included. And next, he talks about Yoshugen, using hands and eyes. This is in Ungan's saying, using hands and eyes. He said, use in Ungang's expression, using hands and eyes. This expression is exactly the same with what Dogo says here. That is what this means. Using hands and eyes is like a person in the night, leading his hand behind in search of the pure. So here he's trying to say what Ungan said and what Dogo says is exactly the same thing. You using the upper of this as hand and eyes is exactly what this sleeping person is doing. And what sleeping person is doing the same as what we do, using our own hands and eyes. So, study using hand and eyes on this basis is even our day-to-day activities is Avalokiteshvara's activities using hand and eyes.
So, if I may, Shri Prasad, we have a little less than an hour, and I just wondered if it's fine if you would like to just continue where we're from, or if you want, if you'd like, though, maybe what you would like to say in the last hour, just to summarize or to make the most important points in the time remaining.
Okay. No, 2 days is not long enough.
No, of course not.
We discuss the way it happens. We have 5 days to go ahead. We talked about, I talked about Canon, this entire fascicle. I felt still 5 days is not too long. I have been talking so much, but I don't think we waste time. I think those are necessary understanding or information to understand what Dogen is writing and why he writes in this way. I mean, this is when he writes about this kind of topics, he had to write in this way. But when he writes, for example, in Fushiko Hanpo, he describes how to use Oryoki, and his description is very precise. So if he want, he could write in that way. Or if he thought, he could write in that way about what he's talking about this, I think he could do that. But I think for him, this is the only possible way to express his insight about what Avalokiteshvara is. So we need patience. I have been studying Dogen for 40 years, but still I don't think I fully understand him. So, in a sense, I feel fortunate. In my rest of my life, I never get tired and bored about studying Dogen. This is really endless. Well, I don't think we can finish this writing today in less than 1 hour. So maybe I should, the best thing is summarize my understanding of what he's talking about with these two Zen Master conversation about about Avalokiteshvara. So this is completely my personal understanding. As I said, Dogen's interpretation of this koan or dialogue is Ungan ask a question to Dogo about Avalokiteshvara. But he said, Ungan offered one expression about Avalokiteshvara. And Dogo responded to his to Ungan. And Ungan, when Dogo said this, the person groping a pillow in the night, Dogo said, "I understand, I understand." But Dogen interpreted this "I understand" not. He understood what Dogo said, but this "I understand" this I understand is this word A. It could mean understand and also meet. Mm. And in this case, this means I'm really meeting with this Avalokiteshvara. Mm. Instead of I understand what you say. Then Dogo said, because he said I understood, Dogo said, how do you understand? And this how do you understand is, I don't have time to write, is not a question or invitation to Ummo, but this is another expression that how do you understand is not a question, but this is also again a statement. This is understand of how. How is thus. So this Ungo's question and Dogo's question, how do you understand, is also means that in the case of Ungan said I understand, but in that case of Dogo, Nanj, you appear. You have understand. So basically what my understanding between these two sides is Ungan is talking about entirety or totality of interdependent origination as Avalokiteshvara. And Dogo is talking about how each and every beings within this network behave or practice or do actions as a part of Avalokiteshvara. So Ungan says Avalokiteshvara has innumerable, numberless, immeasurable hands and eyes. And Dogo said that Avalokiteshvara's activity is like one person. Sleeping is not something special. We always do. Every day we sleep at least almost, you know, one third of a day. That means one third of our life is sleeping. So we, without exception, we all sleep. And that, you know, really ordinary day-to-day activity, like sleeping, can be the function of Avalokiteshvara. So how we express this interconnectedness through our personal action, our activities, that is Dogo's position. And they offer each other their insight. And next, Dogo said, henshin, whole body, is hands and eyes. And Dogo said, you speak quite well, and yet you only speak, in the case of Dogen's version, 80% or 90%. And Dogen want to interpret this saying by Dogo in the way he didn't say your expression or understanding is incomplete, and my understanding and expression is better than yours. You only say 80% to 90%, but I can say 100%. That is the kind of common understanding of this conversation. But Dogen interpret what Dogo said about this 80% to 90% complete is complete agreement with what Ungan said. But at least that part of Shodogenzo Kanon doesn't make sense to me. Mm. Because he often are successful to make this kind of twist. But what is said by Dogo here is kind of too clear. Almost too clear, so there's no possible way to twist. But he tried to twist it. And that means if you read that translation, what Dogen said is this 80 to 90% does not mean his Ungan's expression is incomplete, but he expressed fully using 80 to 90% ability or power or words. But that is really not possible, honestly. In my thinking, logical thinking, it's not really possible.
It reminds me in Shobogen Tsuyoshi Being Time, though, when he says even a partial expression of even a half, I forget exactly the right translation, but even a half-hearted, or even a complete expression of a partial being time is fully a partial being time.
Same kind of logic, but that is still in my that doesn't make sense.
But isn't this the same Dogen who says everything is just one continuous mistake? And I wondered if it built on even to say it is thus would miss the mark. Mm-hmm. But it can't maybe be fully explained in words.
Mm-hmm. So in my mind, my understanding, this part of Dogen saying in Kannon doesn't make sense. But from the from what Dogen said or wrote in this article, in Soto Zen tradition, there is a very famous expression that is, we should avoid 100% achievement. No, 80 to 90% is better than 100, perfect achievement. That is the expression in Japanese. Jujo means 10 instead of 9 to 8 or 8%. But we should avoid 100% completeness. That means we are always in the process. That is another expression of going beyond Buddha. Butsu-Kojo-ji. So our practice has no end. If we become perfect or complete, that is a dead end.
So if we get to 100%, there's nothing more to do.
Right. So we should be always 80 to 90%.
That's good.
Wherever we reach, that is still 80 to 90%. That means we need to go further. Anyway, then Ungan asked again to Dogo, I am like this, I'm simply like this. How what about you? Then Dogo said, Tsushin, almost the same thing. And actually, in Dogen's writing, he said these two are actually the same thing. So, henshin, whole body are your hand and eyes, and through out body or entire body is hand and eyes. These two are also express. You know, this totality, within this totality of interconnectedness, all beings within there are bodhisattvas, hands and eyes. But in the case of Dogen saying, this entire body of each person, this entire body of each person is and an eyes of Avalokiteshvara. So, Ungan's side trying to show the totality of interconnectedness. And those sides point out, how can I say, how individual person express or live or practice in the way we manifest this totality. So this is a personal individual practice, and this is the totality of all beings. To me, that is how Dogen interpret this conversation. This is summarizing my understanding of what Dogen is saying and why he said in this way. So, in my understanding, Dogen's uniqueness, real difference between the approach in Hekigan-roku and Shoryo-roku is in the case of Hekigan-roku or Rinzai tradition, they kind of destroy our structure of our way of thinking, way of thinking, and allow us to become free from this discriminating way of life or dualistic way of life. So first, they put emphasis to destroy this structure and see oneness and totality. That is what Engo to emphasize. And later, they need to come back. But in Shoryo-roku, they emphasize, in the case of Dogen's interpretation, this side, Dogo's side, how we can manifest Avalokiteshvara using our body and mind as one thing, like a blind person using a staff, and the entire body becomes the eye. So how we can live in that way? In that way means being free from this separation between self and others, or self and world, or separation within ourselves, like eyes and ears, nose and tongue, and hands and legs. All these things are not separate entity, but this function is really one thing. As Ungan said, all beings in this entire universe function as one thing, as Avalokiteshvara. When we function as our life as one body, instead of collection of five skandhas, then and also there's no such separation between self and others, or subject and object, then Avalokiteshvara is actualized or manifest within our each and every actions. I think that is what Shoryo-roku is trying to say. That is Chinese Soto Zen tradition. But Dogen's way is, focus on each and every word and interpret from all different possible ways by investigating the nature of words and language and concept and logic. What he's saying is, those conceptual way of thinking is a cause of problems. But when we very close look at all those words and concepts and the way we think, we use, that is logic, then those words and concepts and logic themselves shows this Avalokiteshvara. That means certain things does not really certain things. Certain things already include something opposite. And each and everything, each and every word does not have its self nature. So when we take a close look at each and every word, or expression, or sentence, or even big long writing, by checking, figure out what are these words and sentences and concepts and logic, we can find how, or we can find they are already liberated from themselves. Does it make sense? And yet, because of that, this certain particular word really express the particular thing. So, words and letters we use as a concept and to in a dualistic way. But if we much closer look at them, we find they are liberated by themselves. Or concept is liberated from the concept. Or form is liberated from form. And emptiness is liberated itself from emptiness. And yet forms exactly point out what form is. And emptiness exactly point out what emptiness is. So by kind of destroying our conceptual, habitual way of thinking, Dogen tried to point out the reality beyond thinking, using thinking. In that point, I think what Dogen is doing and what Nagarjuna did is the same thing. They construct our way of habitual conceptual way of thinking, but Nagarjuna's method is much more logical. But Dogen's way is more poetic. That is my understanding. We still have 30 minutes. If you have a question or comment, please give me. Please.
And one time we said that I always represented wisdom when the hand is represented doing. At one point you said that eyes represented wisdom and hands represented, I think, doing or something like that. Mm-hmm. Is that how you see this as well? That sentence? The entire body is hands and eyes?
Yeah. Hands and eyes. You know, in the statue of Avalokiteshvara, eyes are on the hand. So hand and eyes should be always together. And hand and eyes means action to help others and wisdom. So in that sense, wisdom and compassion should be always together. And is together always as a two aspects of Buddha's virtue. Wisdom should be always together with compassion. Otherwise, this wisdom has no meaning. And if compassion is not together with wisdom, this doesn't really work as a wisdom. I'm sorry, as compassion. That means it doesn't really help others. Even, for example, one of the six parameters is dana, or giving. If we give something without wisdom, then this giving might be harmful to others. Or wisdom in order to help others too, if we are not wise enough. You know, our good will, good intention may cause, you know, unwholesome result. So even we try to help others with our good will, still we need our wisdom. Otherwise, our compassionate heart doesn't really express itself. So in that sense, hands and eyes, or compassion and wisdom, should be always together. Or actually, these are two names of one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah. The idea of darkness being the sort of absolute realm of everything, Avalokiteshvara. So the image of acting compassionately, it brings to mind then that Avalokiteshvara acts in this realm of the absolute, doing things that normally we would think you would need light for. So that, like, if we normally think that to help other people, we have to see another person to help, and that would create that distance of subject-object. But the idea that I at least see in the original story is that true compassion comes with non-discriminating mind, so that we aren't overthinking it, but we just naturally act out of that. Do you see Dogen then as sort of pushing beyond that even to say that no, we act with what? Both discriminating mind and non-discriminating mind, that we can't create those divisions?
I think that is what exactly Dogen is trying to say. As wisdom and compassion, we need to use both discrimination and non-discrimination. In the Kongokyo or Daibun Sutra, it discussed the five eyes. Do you remember the five eyes? You know, Daibun Sutra is one of the oldest Mahayana sutras among the Prajnaparamita sutras. So the expression in the Heart Sutra is not so much sophisticated or defined. And in that sutra, these five eyes does not really explain that those five eyes, it is said in the sutra, that does a Buddha have five eyes or not? And those five eyes are Niku, Gen, and Ten, Gen, Niku, Gen, Ten, Gen, and A, Gen, and Ho, Gen, and Butsu, Gen. These are the five eyes. And Niku means flesh. Flesh is body. Flesh eye. And Ten means heaven. Heavenly eye. And the third is A. A means wisdom. So wisdom eye. And fourth is Ho, means Dharma, Dharma eye. And, you know, this expression, Shobogen, or Shobogenzo, this means this Dharma eye. And fifth is Buddha's eye. And I think, this is my understanding, actually, not my understanding, but my understanding from Nagarjuna's explanation of these five eyes. Nagarjuna comments about these five eyes because there's no explanation in the Daimon Sutra. Nagarjuna's expression or explanation appeared in his Daichi Dōgen is Nagarjuna's commentary on the Prajnaparamita Sutras, and it has 100 volumes. I never read the commentary, but I just pick up when prayer I need. And what Nagarjuna said is this nikugen, or flesh eye, is our subjective eye. Subjective? Our eye, our actual eye, can see only the surface, cannot see inside of something. And our eye, our flesh eye, can see only front side, not back side. And we can see the surface, like water, surface of the water. We can see the bottom of the water. With this fresh eye, we can see, you know, something shallow, and something it has a form, and something which fresh to me. So there's a limitation. But another next one, heavenly eye, is eye of heavenly beings. And what Nagarjuna said about this heavenly eye is, this eye is one of the six divine powers, Tengen. That means this eye, heavenly eye, can see even inside of the container and backside, and can see something far away. Even our eye, our actual eye, cannot see. And I think this eye, heavenly eye, means rational way of thinking. This first eye is when we meet something, we just see this and think, I like this or I don't like this, subjectively. But using rational eye, we, you know, put aside like and dislike, but try to figure out what this is objectively. And we try to collect the information. You know, using our eyes, we can see only one side of moon, because moon is moving and showing always one side. So with our eyes, we cannot see the another side of the moon. But by using, you know, satellite, we can see how is the another side of the moon, and we can collect the information about that thing. Then we can see the moon as a whole more objectively, not only the way we see with our eyes. That way of more rational way of thinking is, I think, what Tengen or heavenly eye means. And these two are either subjective and objective. These are discriminating way of doing things. And third eye, this eye or wisdom eye, is the eye, this is prajna eye, is the way seeing everything as one, as empty, as equal, without any discrimination. But what Nagarjuna said is, this is not complete. Because when we don't discriminate, seeing just everything as one, then there is no way to help others. You know, each person has different kind of problems or sufferings caused by different causes. So if we see everything is just one, everything is equal, then how Buddha can help others, other people who has different causes of suffering? So Buddha needs this Dharma eye. And so this is discriminating wisdom, and this is beyond discriminating wisdom, and this is the eye which sees both discrimination and non-discrimination. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And Buddha's eye refers to complete, how can you say, integrate all those four kind of eyes and completely developed. That is what Buddha's eyes means. That is Nagarjuna's interpretation. So this, you know, we have discriminating wisdom and beyond discriminating wisdom, seeing emptiness and equality of all beings. But that is not enough. So we need to use both eyes at the same time, back and forth. And later, this is disappeared in the Diamond Sutra, that is one of the earliest Mahayana. But later, in the Yogacara teachings, they kind of simplified these five eyes into three. Three means first one is Sumbetsu. Chi, and the second is Mu, Humbet Chi, and the third is Gotok, Humbet Chi. Toku, Humbet Chi. This first one is Hum and Betsu, both means division, separation. So this wisdom is a discriminating wisdom. And the second one is Mu Humbet Chi, means beyond humbet, beyond discrimination. And the third is Gotok. Go means greater. And Tok means attainment. And Humbetsu is discriminating wisdom. That means Gotoku or later attained means after attaining this Humbetsu, we still use discriminating wisdom.
So first there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is.
Yes. That is the later development of these eyes. So first we need discrimination. Discrimination is a problem. So we need to go beyond discrimination. But if we stay, go beyond this, beyond discrimination, then there's no way to function. So we need to use both discrimination and non-discrimination as one wisdom.
So I mentioned to Asian, this is why we have the one only in the entryway.
Pardon? Is that for those who are playing in the entryway?
We have the character one in the entryway.
One means these are not two, these are one. And that is, what all those Mahayana teachings and this the master is trying to say, trying to show us. Discrimination is not good. And so we need to go beyond discrimination. But that is not good enough. We should use both discrimination and non-discrimination freely. Actually, this is the meaning of form is empty and emptiness is form. And all Buddhist masters and Zen masters trying to point this way of life. Being free from both discrimination and non-discrimination, and yet use both of them freely. That's a very simple teaching.
What was the fourth one again? When there was five, what was the fourth?
Fourth is a whole game. Means home is Dharma, so Dharma I.
Uh-huh.
Dharma I.
But it was both. I guess I didn't understand the difference between the fourth and the fifth.
Fourth Dharma I is a I which uses both discrimination and non-discrimination. And Buddha's the last one is include all of them and completely developed and actualized in Buddha's way, I mean Shakyamuni Buddha in this case. So so when we are thinking about ourselves or human beings, we don't need to think about Buddha's eyes. And these four actually mean three. That is my understanding. Anyway, in any teaching of Buddhism, including Zen, how can we become free from both discrimination and non-discrimination and using both freely? That is, I think, essential point of Mahayana teaching. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, all your discrimination and non-discrimination is not our goal. It's the process. We need to develop both from the beginning. So there are some different approaches, but basically all of this teaching try to point this shows way of life. And in Dogen's expression, this side or discrimination is a manifestation. And Todatsu or liberation is being free from discrimination. Nothing is fixed. Not necessarily so. Not always so. But we have to use both. That means, for example, when we are using orioki to eat meals, we have to do in certain fixed way, very precise way. That is how we use orioki. But if we think using orioki in this way is only possible way of eating food, then we are in the trouble. So we need to be free from fixed form of using orioki. And yet, at certain situation, certain time, we have to do precisely following the formality. But if we think we have to really attach ourselves to certain fixed particular formality, then we are in trouble. So this two sides, we have to do things in certain way. And we have to be free from any fixed formality. Same signs of doing this way and being free from that way. At the same time, that is another, I think, another connotation of Dogen's expression, just do it. Just do it without wholeheartedly do it, without attaching ourselves to that thing.
Sometimes I think I get stuck thinking of koans that way, that, you know, you read a koan and you listen to someone's interpretation, and I think maybe I tend to generalize from that. I think that this is the way. And it seems like maybe you have to be flexible with it and just regard it as this was what happened in this situation that demonstrated something, not, you know, this is how it is for all eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if we attach this side, Dogen said that is not light. If we attach ourselves to another side, Dogen said that is not light. So whatever we say, Zenbasta said not light. That means the teacher pointed the another side, always showing another side.
It seems like a lot of the time the Dogen doesn't say that's not right, that's not right. He says one expression, that's right, and then the opposite expression, that's right,
yeah.
So that you don't hold to the views.
Yeah. And that is the way, the method to show the middle way. Between, we have a tendency, depending upon our personality, we have a tendency to go that way too far, or another way too far, or we back and forth. By saying this is not light and that is not light, they try to show us the middle way. And the middle way is not something fixed. Middle way means always, this is not always so, this is not always so. And depending upon the personality, if I go this way too much, the middle way is this side. And if I have a tendency to too much that side, the middle way is not really, there is no such thing called the middle of two extreme. Depending upon how extreme, middle way might be different. There's no fixed way. So we have to consider, what is the middle way in each situation for each person. If that is about myself, or if about someone else, when the person is in a problem and they need some instruction, then we need to try to understand what is the person's tendency. Go too much this way or too much that way. So one teacher's teaching might be contradicted depending upon personality, the person to whom the teacher is talking about. This is what is said as a obyo yoyak in the case of Buddha's teaching. Obyo yoyak means depending upon the sickness, Buddha gives the different medicine. So sometimes Buddha or teacher instruction that you should practice more strictly. And to another person, the same teacher can say, relax, don't stick yourself to such a strict practice. And when we hear these two instructions to different people, we think this person or this person teaching is contradicted. It doesn't make sense. Of course, logical way of thinking, these are contradicted. But actually, this medicine works to that person, and this medicine works to that person. So it's a kind of a problem to make a system of someone's teaching. And make a kind of a, for example, we study different parts of Shobogenzo and make a concept and think this is the entire system of Dogen's teaching. Then we completely miss what he's doing. And in the case of Shakyamuni, I think that's the same. But that's how we scholars, students, do. To summarize, what is Buddha's teaching? And that might be a problem. Because Buddha's teaching is always kind of like a medicine he gave to certain particular people who have certain particular problems. It's almost 5:30. Thank you very much for your patience to listen to my poor English.
Thank you very much for
one
wonderful teaching this weekend, and giving us a very wider context for seeing the Bodhisattva of compassion, and tomorrow morning also, so that we're not finished. So.
I have no ground for tomorrow's talk. I have to think this tonight.